Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Palestine podcast. We're finally here. We've been working really, really hard in the last few months and it's all built up to this point. We can't wait to bring you some of these stories. We're very, very excited. But first, let me introduce myself. My name is Alejandro. I am a student and I'm a mix of German, Syrian and Palestinian. It's a bit more complicated than that, but I guess I'll leave it there for now. This episode will be about the tragic assassination of the veteran journalist Shireen Abu Akleh that happened exactly 1 year ago today on the 11th of May, 2022. Why are we starting off our podcast with this? And to the cynical ones of you, why does this still matter? It still matters because we're in a place where the case is still unresolved. That's why it's vital for every individual, especially those with a platform, to continue to press for justice and to fight for accountability so that this case doesn't get swept under the rug. There has to be consequences to assassinations, believe it or not. But additionally, for somebody who spent their entire life amplifying and telling the untold stories to the wider public, it's only fair that we do our bit and retell this story as many times as it takes to press the international community for justice and ultimately freedom from the river to the sea. Before we go into the ways in which Palestinians, specifically the family and colleagues of Shireen Abu Akleh, have been fighting for justice and exactly where that justice stands at the moment, it's best we refresh everyone's memory of exactly what happened on the 11th of May, 2022. And so instead of me telling you a bit about who she was, this is who one of her dearest colleagues and friends, Nida Ibrahim, the Al Jazeera correspondent for the West Bank in English, this is what she had to say about her friend, Shireen Abu Akleh.
Shireen was a household name. She was someone that was pinpointed wherever you go, not just in Palestine, not only in the Arab world, but even beyond that. She was a journalist I always felt, you know, the honor of knowing. She's very kind, very dedicated, very sweet, intelligent. And she was, throughout her life, her main calling was telling the human stories behind the news. So wherever she would go, she would listen to the stories of the people and she would think about weaving them in, making them into a story that people want to hear. So people felt close to her, felt that she was a dedicated professional, that she was a human, and she was always, you know, she always rose above and beyond the internal split. She wasn't, you know, politically affiliated with a party. And imagine, with all of that love and fame, she wasn't someone who let that get into her head. On the contrary, she knew how important she was. She knew how respected she was. But still, that drove her to keep wanting to tell stories. You know, no story was too small for her. When I don't say this to brag. I'm just saying this story to tell you how she was a baseline whereby you compare journalists. I remember one of my first job offers. Someone who was recruiting me told me, he told his boss, oh, I found another Shireen, or I found the young Shireen. And I'm not here claiming that I am. I'm just saying she was the person you would look up to and say, that's a good journalist, and that's who you should aspire to be.
So as Nida very eloquently said there, Shireen meant a lot to the Palestinian community, not only the Palestinian community in Palestine, but around the world and generally around the world, not only to Palestinians. She was an integral part of society. So you can only begin to imagine how much of a shock it was waking up on the 11th of May, 2022. I remember for me specifically loading up my computer and seeing the news come in, and I just froze in the moment. It's a complete shock when you see one of the most important people in your country, one of the most famous people in your country, one of the most loved people in your country, potentially assassinated. And obviously from the beginning, even though, I mean, we knew exactly who had done this. This has happened time and time again. It's nothing. Israel has a long policy of assassinating high profile people, not only Palestinians in Palestine, not only Palestinians in other Arab nations or even in Europe, but also non-Palestinians. There's even a page on Wikipedia for Israeli assassinations. And I mean, they don't have Shireen on this list because what separates her is that she wasn't a military figure. But let's make this very clear. What happened to Shireen was an assassination. We'll get into the details of the 11th of May in a moment. But I guess it's come this far that we really have to justify the fact that this matters because she wasn't a military figure. That's how far Palestinians have been dehumanized. This is something we're going to speak a lot about on the podcast. And so what I'm trying to make very clear here is that there is absolutely no excuse for what happened on the 11th of May. The Israelis know it. They know what happened. They always do. What was meant to be a day of reporting quickly turned into a day of hell. This is what Nida had to say about it.
It was the 11th of May. I was supposed to be off. And I got a call from Rania, our producer, saying that she was shot. And the first thing that got into my head, that maybe she was, you know, injured lightly. But the voice on the phone was crying. So I jumped out of the bed, you know, thinking that no, that this can't happen. Rania said to me, she might not make it. And I remember like being in disbelief. I think I still am. Then I opened Al Jazeera as reports were coming in. And then Walid Al-Omari announced that she was killed. And just a few seconds after that, I was on air on Al Jazeera English while our cameraman was driving me to the bureau where all journalists that we have been working with, colleagues from different channels, everyone was in the bureau because, you know, it was a moment of shock, collective grief, anger, and just people who just wanted to show solidarity. Not only journalists started coming into the office, also people who Shireen covered their stories. It was a very, very difficult day, very emotional moment. Most of our colleagues went to Jenin, where she was then taken to Nablus for some inspections for the report about how she was killed. And then, you know, we had news that the Palestinian president wanted to honor her at the presidential headquarters. He wanted to have an official funeral for her. I remember that day with so many vivid details. She's been saying throughout so many interviews that she freezes when danger happens. And I think that's what happened. When her colleague Ali was shot, she just said, Ali was shot, Ali was shot. And then she was shot herself. She was trying to take refuge behind a tree. And this is someone who knows the ground, who has been covering Palestine day in and day out, who knows exactly how to behave around danger. That day was just a day I don't want to remember. And again, it's not like we've been able to deal with our pain and our emotions, because since that day, we've been covering, me and our producer Rania keep telling ourselves that probably this year we've been to more cemeteries and funerals than all of our years combined, because of the intensity of it, because of the escalation that has been happening throughout the occupied West Bank. So it still feels like a nightmare that maybe we could wake up from.
What went from being shocked to seeing Shireen appear assassinated on the news? We were all horrified in the following days when her funeral took place, and we saw the images of the pallbearers, the people holding the coffin up, being attacked by Israeli police as the coffin came into Jerusalem. These were shocking scenes, and I mean, something that Nida said to me during my conversation with her was that really stuck with me, was that it's not only in life that Palestinians have no control, but also in death, the occupation is still present. Palestinians cannot simply mourn in peace, whether it's a funeral that is attacked or graves damaged or bodies being withheld from their families. Israel has done it all. It does everything it can to prevent any sense of normality to exist within a Palestinian life, and even after a life has been taken away. The Israeli propaganda machine is incredibly powerful. We wouldn't be in a position where we are now if it weren't for the Israeli propaganda machine. We wouldn't still be fighting for justice for something that is so clear and blatantly obvious. And so let's take a moment to now look at some of these claims. For example, they often claim that they're the only democracy in the Middle East. And just to look at this in one perspective, a free press is an incredibly important part of a democracy, right? In the UN report that came out shortly after the assassination of Shirin, it claimed that Shirin was assassinated, but also it said that women Palestinian journalists regularly experience violence in the course of their work just for being journalists. Now, if that's clear as day to me, that says to me Israel doesn't want Palestinian voices to be heard. It's trying to suppress the Palestinian narrative. So much for democracy, right? Another claim that Israel comes out with, the most moral army in the world. They claim to always act in self-defense, but how can a journalist wearing a press jacket covering behind a tree after her colleague had been shot? Is that really very moral? That's my question to you. Let's take a moment to look at how the Israeli propaganda came out instantly the day that Shirin was assassinated.
Like within probably 30 minutes, if I remember correctly, the narrative came out from the Israelis that, you know, she might have been killed by Palestinian fighters. And then that narrative kept changing and changing and changing. We all know that Israel has cameras, the army have cameras, the soldiers have cameras, and only in instances when it would benefit Israel, we see those footage being released. And in that case, and in that day, it wasn't. And we all know what happened from various cameras. I don't think there was a Palestinian story of a Palestinian who was killed that has been covered by that many news outlets and independent investigators. And, you know, we're talking about international media that hasn't been traditionally pro-Palestinian. And still, they concluded the same exact conclusion that the Palestinians have been saying all along. And it also taps into the fact that Palestinians are not instantly believed. Their narrative is always questioned.
The numbers of people who came out with videos or who've been there or who were shot with Shirin, who said exactly it was clear who killed her and from which distance and who has access to these bullets and what have you. And still, the Israeli army managed to go out and say it was Palestinian fighters in the beginning. And then it may have been our soldiers. It could have been, but, you know, maybe because she was in an area behind fighters, and then you had also cameras. And it was, I remember the Human Rights Organization of B'Tselem releasing the videos showing that the coordinates of those videos cannot, the Israeli army released videos showing that, oh, we shot because we thought there were fighters behind her. And the coordinates of all the videos that the Israelis have released show that it couldn't have been the case. So the narrative kept changing because it kept being debunked by Palestinians.
One of the things that Nida said at the beginning there was that the Israelis tried to blame it on Palestinians first, tried to say that Palestinians were the ones who shot Shirin. And not only is this a blatant lie, and simply blaming it on us is not only disgusting from a moral standpoint, but me personally, I feel a bit offended by that. It's offensive to Palestinians to just blame it on them, knowing that people will believe them and people will believe the Israeli narrative first, because as Nida says, the Palestinian narrative is not instantly believed. It's always questioned first, unlike the Israeli narrative. And I guess it's just a constant reminder that Israel rules over Palestinian lives and can simply do whatever it wants. It's a spit in the face of Palestinians. And I guess actions like these, assassinations of some of the most influential people, as Shireen was, it stokes fear into any Palestinian who begins to speak up, especially those who live between the river and the sea, because anything can happen to you, and Israel can get away with it. It's a form of deterrence to make sure that nobody does anything. But it's, and as I said before, though, assassinations have happened outside of Palestine as well. And so let's look at this wider question now. Why does Israel target journalists? And the very obvious answer is that it wants to hide the truth. Maintaining their power over Palestinians is the integral part of that is by controlling the narrative. Something that I saw recently when researching now for this episode was that 45 journalists have been killed by Israel since 2000. This is, I would go as far as saying that journalists are enemies of the state of Israel. But I guess it kind of puts things into perspective for me now as we begin this podcast, as even though I don't live in Palestine, whether in the West Bank, 48 lands, what is considered to be Israel, or the Gaza Strip, it's a given really that any voice for Palestinians anywhere in the world will become a target of harassment or attempts by Zionist groups to be brought down, whether it's from a job or university or whatever. But at least in my position, considering the lives being lived, the lives that I see being lived, or actually I'd rather say survived through by Palestinians under the Israeli occupation, I think for me, it's the very least I can do. Let's just go back to Shireen quickly. If people as influential as Shireen are targeted, you can only really imagine how it must be for the everyday person. And something I asked Nida subsequently was what the impact on press freedom is as a result of something like this.
It's hard to tell the impact right now because we're torn between wanting to ensure that we're safe. Now, every time I see my grandmother, my relatives, they're like, really, we're so scared. We're more scared now. Please don't go report. Please. So we want to ensure our personal safety because, you know, Shireen was someone who loved life. And she wasn't someone who would put herself in danger and this happened. So it's like, how do you go and do your job and be able to return back safely? And at the same time, we know exactly why journalists are being targeted. You know, as sad as it is, what happened to Shireen, it's not new.
It might be nothing new, as Nida said, but it's so, so important now that we achieve something from this, that we reach justice and accountability. Because if somebody as influential as Shireen is targeted, the everyday person has no chance. I mean, let's look at the numbers now quickly for conviction rates. When you compare the Israelis or soldiers who pretty much never get convicted for any of their crimes, really, crimes on a daily basis against the Palestinian people through the occupation, through the apartheid, and you compare that to the 99.7% conviction rate of in Israeli courts of Palestinians, you begin to see this sense of apartheid and you begin to see the mountain that Palestinians face, how everything they do can be deemed as illegal compared to anything that a soldier does against them. That is the definition of apartheid. One rule for one people, another rule for the other. But now as we begin to close off this first episode, I just want to return to something that Nida said at the beginning, and that Shireen was above the fragmentation, the division that plagues Palestinian society, and it's something that's very purposely controlled by the Israeli occupation in part of the classic colonial strategy of divide and conquer. The fact that Shireen was above this divide means that sometimes when Israel oversteps the line, it kind of galvanizes the Palestinian movement. It creates a sense of unity, and it led to some incredible scenes on the day of Shireen's funeral. I'll let Nida have the final word here.
One writer summed it up saying that even during her funeral, Shireen was sending a final story to the world. When her coffin was attacked, when the Israeli forces didn't even allow people a day of grief and mourning and bidding farewell to someone who was considered as a heroine. I think we haven't seen a funeral like that in decades, whereby Palestinians marching Jerusalem, even when the body was making its way from Jenin to Nablus to Ramallah and then to Jerusalem, it was called waves of love because people were coming out in the streets. Some villages, even on the way from Jenin to Nablus, were putting some roadblocks saying, you know, we have the right to also bid her farewell. So it brought that sense of unity, that sense of collective grief, because she was someone who everyone was able to identify with beyond the internal split, beyond the sectarianism, beyond everything. She was someone everyone respected and considered as a Palestinian. It's kind of like they wanted to show her how much she was loved and how much she meant to them. So the scenes we've seen in Jenin, in Nablus, in Ramallah, in Jerusalem, I haven't seen anything like that. And I've been a journalist for more than 15 years. And I've lived all of my life here in the West Bank. And I haven't seen anything like that to someone who's not a politician.
So I hope you've begun to understand now a bit just how important Shireen was to Palestinians and Palestine as a movement generally for liberation, but also how important this is in the case of the freedom of press around the world. And for that, we need accountability. For that, we need to fight for justice. And that justice is currently being fought by her family and her colleagues. And that's something that we're going to be getting into next episode. And so thank you very, very much for being here today to listen. And I hope to see you in the next episode where we take a look at this justice.